I just know W key. Keeps me moving.
Only one thing to do. W key.
That's it. I got a W key. I got a W key.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the W Key Podcast. Today, we are joined by Dirk from the Super Arrogant Bros Podcast, a fellow gamer, fellow gaming podcaster as well. For those who don't know, my name is Josh, a.k.a. J. Frosty. Matt, my trusty co-host, a.k.a. Technique. And then obviously, you can see that we're joined by Dirk, one half of the Super Arrogant Bros Podcast. So yeah, it's, you know, we're just going to sit down. We're going to have a chat. You know, we've had a few other guests on in the past that have been a little bit more from an informative, like they teach something standpoint, but I thought, you know, it would be good to just kind of sit and chat, with another gamer, another gaming podcast host. There's a lot of interesting things kind of happening in the world of gaming right now. So, without further ado, I don't want to hold it up too long. Dirk, why don't you just tell us about yourself. Tell us about the podcast, how it got started, what you guys focus on, just to get an idea of, because obviously it's probably different than what we do. And we'll go from there.
Hello, listeners. This is Papa Dirk here. And yes, I am one half of the Super Arrogant Bros. This is a podcast that started back in 2016, back when my ex-co-host was talking to me about wanting to start a podcast. And I looked back into my apartment and realized I've got a MacBook and I have a piece of shit USB microphone. So we decided we'll just plop that thing right between us and get going. And then once I started to take this a lot more seriously, I picked up a mixing board. So the production value was much higher. And actually by late 2017, we were able to join Madcast Media, which is run by Maddox. So I am part of Arrogant Media and part of Madcast Media. As far as the content goes, we try to talk to the everyday guy that comes home from work and sits down. We're talking to the dads here, sometimes the mothers as well, those sweet, sweet mothers. But what we try to do is we don't want to be IGN. We will burn bridges if we have to, and we're going to give things to you as straight as we possibly can. And branching away from just the video gaming end of things as well, we do love talking about things like Warhammer 40K and Pathfinder.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, it's always good to see that, to get that other side. You know, we tend to, you know, for anyone who's listening, who has listened to us, we tend to be very, I wouldn't say gaming news, but I don't know. It's just things that we can find on the internet. I think you're probably in the same camp as we are, as far as being a little bit more cynical of kind of the industry and the games that are coming out and how they're doing things. Cause I do think it's warranted, which we can hit on, but, it's always good to get a fresh perspective from someone else, someone else doing it the different way than we are. So I figured when you reached out, I was like, yeah, why not? We'll have a chat, see how it's going on. Where are you guys based out of?
We're from Iowa.
Nice. Iowa. Very different. We're in the Northeast. So, how's the lockdown been? You guys getting a lot of
I kind of, I still wear a mask.
Yeah.
Right now I tend to wear a mask to make sure people just shut the hell up.
Oh yeah.
I'm not anti-mask by any means. If you feel more comfortable doing it, wear it. And then having to work from home kind of sucks because then your work life and your home life are so intertwined that I need an escape from it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have a hard time. Myself and my girlfriend live in like an 800 square foot apartment, like outside of Boston. So it's, luckily I have a dog, so I've been able to get out with the dog. But yeah, other than that, it does get, you're very confined in the one space and you're kind of doing everything there. You're eating, you're sleeping, yeah, you're working, you're having fun or trying to have fun and all in the same place the entire time. And
my wife says I spend all the time in front of the computer because I'll work and then I will stream. So she's like, all you do is sit in front of those computers all day, every day. I was like, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm just out here trying to do stuff, I guess.
I know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, so I'm being made to play my games downstairs instead. So I spent 8 hours upstairs in the recording studio where my work computers have overtaken the area that my gaming desktop is supposed to be in. So I'm kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I would... It's easing up a little bit. I mean, more things are opening around us, so it's a little bit better to get out. It's like a mental, just like, even if you're just going to a restaurant for like a hot sec, it's just such a mental, refreshing thing to be out and like see other people. Like, oh my God, other people exist.
Humans exist out there.
I just think it's funny because when you watch movies too, like now movies or shows that obviously have been out, that came out prior, you see everyone walking around in the public and like they're all jammed and packed and like stuff. And you're like, that's not how you're supposed to do it now. It's just it's a weird thing how quickly, our perception of like normal has flipped compared to what it was 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. I think that we might actually become a culture that wears masks more often.
Probably.
And yeah. And then if you're going to be wearing a mask, you might as well at least have fun with it. Like I ordered a couple off of Blackcraft Cult and, you know, I don't have to wear the surgical mask everywhere I go. Or just something to cover my face up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of clothing companies I've seen are basically like just scrap fabric that they probably would have thrown away. They're starting to tap into that to make masks and find a new revenue source, which I think is interesting. It's always ingenious. The one thing I am very, and I could go either way on it. I love going to the movies. So I feel that the movie industry is really taking a huge hit, and I don't think movie theaters are probably ever going to be the same if they ever even do open back up. Cause I mean, AMC talked about, you know, probably going under and not being able to continue business. And for me, you know, I just enjoy, I love movies so much. Like if we didn't do a video game podcast, honestly, we probably could have done a movie podcast. Cause I try to watch just about not everything, but like I watch a lot of different movies, and going to movies was always fun. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out too.
Oh, totally. So I want to ask you here, with Sonic the Hedgehog being one of the only movies to be released in theaters this year.
Yeah.
How close do you think that can be to being nominated for awards?
I don't know. I mean, I think when you look at it with a critical eye, because I watched it, I didn't watch it in theaters. I rented it from Prime I think it was Prime. And it was good. Like I liked it. It was good. It took, you know, because anyone who knows, or you know, people, a lot of people probably don't know, but the Sonic universe that's been built up in the games is very confusing, and there's a lot of twists and turns, and there's side universes, so that it's a very hard thing to, I think, make like a linear cohesive movie out of. But they did a good job, and with some of the elements, like you're like, oh, what are they gonna do with the rings, you know, what's that gonna play? And I think they did an interesting job with it. I think if you look at it with a critical eye, from like, or how I would expect awards panels to look at things, I don't think there's enough there of like, you know, plot and movies and this and that to like movie plot and movies. There's not enough there, like from a substance standpoint, to really give it an award, you know, unless you're talking about like visual effects. But even those they were pretty good. They're not the best I've seen, but
I mean, it's much better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, so I think it'll be hard pressed to crack.
I don't think it's award worthy.
Any awards? Yeah.
Well, for how hard they had to rush to get the new design in for Sonic.
I was thinking about that.
They should, yeah. I mean, I feel
somehow
like...
somehow reward them for doing such a good job of
I don't know if there's a character design award. There probably is, like, because you'd think costume design, and obviously as these movies get more, you know, CGI and they're tapped more to like the video game world, and obviously superheroes, they're going to have to start... it's going to be more, not necessarily just costume, it's going to be character design, so... it may make it in there, because they did, the first one was atrocious. I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is that?
And what then, is like, that thing?
I know. And I saw they did push the redesign out really quickly. So if there is an award to be had, I think it would probably be in that vein.
Yeah. I was actually waiting for the movie to come out to be able to see a train wreck. Cause I love train wrecks.
And it's so, always, you can't look away.
That's what the original design was for me. Like, okay, it's going to be a shit show, then I'll enjoy it. And then they decided, okay, we'll take this away. We'll take this back and we'll continue to work on this. And then the new trailer came out and it's like, okay, you actually made me excited for this now.
Yeah, yeah. Great. He actually looked good. And I think the actor, so the funny thing is, do you watch Parks and Recs at all? Have you watched Parks and Rec?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the voice actor who plays Sonic is actually the guy who plays John Ralphio in Parks and Rec. And he's hilarious in that show. And once I found out that was him, I was like, oh my God. And so they did a good job, like making him kind of snarky and witty. And then like, obviously he's new to the world. So mm-hmm. they played on that pretty well too. So overall, like, yeah, it was a very enjoyable movie. And I was not hoping that it would be a disaster, but I mean, they have nobody really has a good track record with video game movies. I mean, look at the Assassin's Creed movie, you know, Michael Fassbender is an amazing actor, but that was just a hot mess of garbage. So,
oh, I didn't touch that one. The last one I saw,
he didn't miss Sonic much.
Tomb Raider.
Oh, Tomb Raider. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Tomb Raider movies, man, they got one thing good, and it was the outfit, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, which Tomb Raider? Like, because they did new Tomb Raider movie, and then there's like the trilogy.
Oh, I'm talking about the new Tomb Raider. That's just as ridiculous as the new games are.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, though, that's the funny thing is that the new movie is just as ridiculous as the new games are. But I guess in that sense, they nailed what the new games are, because it was very crazy and very ridiculous. But that's pretty much what the new games are, too. So, you know, in that sense, I guess they nailed it. But as far as a movie is concerned, I think they probably could have done a lot more with it.
Yeah. So. I mean, the new Lara Croft, like, she went from amazing, amazing MILF-like figure to now we have a rag doll that gets thrown into whatever kind of dangerous aspect that you want to.
Yep.
Something shanking through the leg, doesn't matter. She's going to walk it off.
I know, yeah.
Falling on top of a plane in the movie, don't worry about it. She'll walk.
Yeah, I do. And that's an interesting segue, because I am interested to see how the Nathan Drake movie, you know, the Uncharted movie is going to come out, because Tom Holland's playing Nathan Drake, and they're very similar, you know, very similar idea with those games. The games were great, but there are a lot of scenes obviously that are like, you know, if that was a real person, like, that they'd be dead. And so it's going to be interesting to see how kind of over the top they take the action with those Uncharted movies. I hope that they do it justice, because I do love the games. And I like Tom Holland. Not everyone was super stoked on him being cast as Nathan Drake, but I like him. And I think he could probably do a pretty good job. It just depends on where the writing goes, I guess.
Sure. I didn't play the Uncharted games though.
Oh,
so I'd be pretty blind into it.
Yeah. They're pretty good. I don't know how much they're going to take from the games. Obviously the world and the universe as a whole, but I don't know if they're doing a particular storyline from any of the games. I
think he's supposed to be like a young Drake I don't know. I don't even know how much they're going to tap into like the games, because the games, he's obviously older. I think he's supposed to kind of play like a younger version of Drake, so it could be just completely fresh material, or I'm not sure though.
But yeah, so you might not even need to know much about the games to get in on it.
I do, like, I agree. Tom Holland, I like him as an actor. I remember the first time I saw him playing Spider-Man, I was like, who the hell is this 12-year-old looking loser? Like, I don't think he's gonna do good. And then I watched Civil War and I was like, this man's the best Spider-Man ever. Let's go.
He's a good Spider-Man. I still think the best Peter Parker is Tobey Maguire. Personally, I think he plays the better Peter Parker. And I honestly do think Andrew Garfield's take on Spider-Man was better. I just, if you could have mixed Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker with Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, I think that Iron probably Man. Would have been a very, I don't know about true, but I think for me, because the idea really is Peter Parker is always super timid and nerdy, but then he puts the mask on and he's super cocky and like he just plays with, he has fun with it. And I think that Garfield did a good job at that, but he was not anywhere close to the timid, shy Peter Parker, whereas Toby was. And I just think Tom Holland's a little bit of all of them, just not to the extent that either one was at the other one. So that's a long, really long-winded explanation of my take on Spider-Man movies.
Well, no, like the Amazing Spider-Man films were an incredibly missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the sequel, so the Amazing Spider-Man 2's costume was the closest to what I've seen in the comic books.
Yeah.
I loved that costume.
I thought it was great,
but to be able to. Yeah, and then seeing it in a movie that was written as well as the Amazing Spider-Man 2's was, I felt let down, man.
Yeah.
And so all I want at this point is a movie of a Spider-Man that's been around the block. I'm tired of teenage Peter Parker.
Yeah. 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 I think
agree 100%.
I think the Amazing Spider-Man 2, I do feel was really good. And they missed a huge opportunity with how they were setting up, you know, the rest of the world.
Sinister Six.
Yeah. And I just think they went the classic. They not quite to the extent that Spider-Man 3 did, but they tried to jam in a lot of villains. It got a little clustered for me, I feel like. And then it sucks that Andrew Garfield, he didn't want to play ball. You know, a lot of the pushback came from him, pushing back on Sony and not wanting to do what Sony wanted him to do. And that kind of, I think, ultimately cost him his job, which sucks. But I mean, what are you going to do? I guess he's a grown ass man.
Can you give some examples of things he was pushing back against? Cause I don't know that.
So he was, they told him he was supposed to come to, one of the things in his contract, he was, I'd have to look him up exactly, but the one main one I know off the top of my head that was like the straw that broke the camel's back is he was part of his contract was he was supposed to go to one of the release like opening days. And he either didn't show up or he showed up like 2 hours late, like drunk as a skunk, like just totally. So a lot of his press obligations, that Sony, they wrote into his contract, he wanted to renege on. And Sony, you know, he was totally against like anything that Sony wanted him to do, as far as like promoting the movie and doing his press tour. And he just, that really soured Sony's,
I don't think I really heard much about that
on him. So
I guess he can't blame Sony, right? I mean, if some dude not promoting the movie and showing up wasted to the premiere, I'd kind of be on Sony's side on that one.
Yeah.
So. Or your main guy showing up wasted.
Yeah.
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 He's like it would have been one thing if it was like a villain actor.
Yeah.
Or like some Jamie background Fox character.
Yeah.
Like the janitor from scene two showed up wasted. Yeah. What is he doing?
So, yeah, I know there's more to it because I remember reading the article about it. I take home because that's the one they kind of harped on, I guess, because it was a really big deal. It was like it wasn't just like a normal like it was a pretty big like release party. And I guess he was against it one. And then when he actually did show up, he was late and he was like all fucked up. So, I was like, hey, man, do what you got to do, I guess, if that's what he felt like doing. I mean, go for it. But obviously it cost him his job and that is what it is. So, he's going to deal with that, I guess. But
yeah.
So how did you feel about Microsoft's games event? So we'll slide back into some more video game stuff. So obviously that happened, 2 weeks ago, I think, at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, all the days are kind of blending together for me. So anyone who's listened to our show, we did an episode, a good portion of our last episode was focused on the game's showcase. So anyone who watched that or listened to that knows that we're not overly impressed. I feel like that Matt and I weren't overly impressed with Microsoft's showing. But this will be the first time we've talked to kind of another gamer, another opinion, another point of view. So I figured we'll see how you felt about it. I mean,
my question is what do you play on? Do you play on console or PC? I guess I just want to know going into it.
My first choice will always be PC.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I'm one of those firm believers that Halo belongs on the PC. If I can't play with a keyboard and mouse, I'm going to suck shit because I feel like I'm controlling a tank using a controller.
Yeah.
But like in my earlier days of being able to play the first Halo at LAN parties overnights or, through the afternoons, it was incredible for me. And so now that we have the Master Chief Collection back on PC and I can replay those games through on my current unit, that's amazing to me. And so now we have Halo Breath of the Wild coming soon. And I see.
That's a good.
You know exactly what I'm talking about when I said that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this like graphically and gameplay wise because this looks like a step back graphically, but I understand why they're doing this though. They're trying to make sure that it plays at a high enough frame rate and to make sure everything is stable, but it looks like everything is going to be so open world.
Yeah.
The big thing that turned me off though was the grappling. Cause Doom spoiled me. And so being able to grapple demons with it, with my shotgun as quickly and as fast as I did, that felt incredible. But looking through that, that zip line that you're doing with the Master Chief, I don't like the flow of it, but either way though, I'm a little underwhelmed from what I saw. I do need to see a lot more gameplay. And this is going to be going for the Xbox unit overall, because right now, my money, if I'm going to be buying a console, it's going to be going towards the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. And while the PS4 was a Bloodborne box, the PS5 is going to be a Demon's Souls box for me. Yeah. So, and getting into things like the Game Pass from Microsoft, here's the thing. So it looks like the Game Pass is going to be what people thought that Stadia was going to be. In other words, a Netflix for gaming. And I'm telling you, as somebody that uses Apple Music, as a huge music fan, what makes me become that much more spiritually close to an album is when I buy the album myself. So nowadays, if I'm buying an album, it's a vinyl.
Yep.
And you do it for the ritual of putting the record on the turntable and getting it going. And from there, you become much more familiarized with it in a certain way. Through Apple Music, it's hard for me to actually listen through an album all the way through. And what I've noticed is that with streaming, our attention span keeps going in multiple different directions. And when I buy a game, if I spend $60 dues on that thing, that's going to be more incentive for me to finish that that sucker. And I don't think I'm going to have that if I'm using the Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah,
it's true. A great point. Yeah, I have so many games that I have downloaded onto my Xbox that, because my friend and I, you can share your account and then you can buy games and download on each console. And he's bought a few games that I went half with because he wanted them. I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, I'll play it some other time. I haven't touched a single game that I've split with him just because that reason. It's just I have a bunch in my library that I can just download. And I that's a great take. Actually, I 100% agree with that, that if I have access to a bunch of games, I won't focus on it. But if I do buy, I'm like, okay, I want to beat this thing and move on to the next one.
Yeah, I think, I do think that, you know, looking at it from a strictly value point of view, I do think the Games Pass is like the best value in gaming. You know, it's hard to beat the because everything they showed on the games showcase is all going to be available on the Game Pass at launch. And for $14 a month for the ultimate, like the gold edition, whatever the hell they call it, that's a pretty hard proposition to pass up. And I do think, and I've said it before, I do think that the Xbox One X combined with the Xbox Games Pass sort of saved Xbox this generation, because they were floundering pretty hard. And so I think, you know, I said it when we talked about the game showcase, I think it was more of an Xbox Games Pass, you know, demo, like, hey, these are some games that are coming, but like, the fact that they're all coming to Games Pass, like that's what you should be hyped for. And, you know, the idea that Fable and Halo would also be coming, that's kind of like the like, look, we're not just giving you these like kind of lower level or lower tier games. We're giving you these higher tier ones as well with the Games Pass. I do second your opinion on the graphics. I think that Halo looked meh. But if they're going to give you the world, you know, massive world, so let me step back a little bit, because I think it's funny, because you look at a game like Forza, and I said this last week too, Forza does a really good job of showing you what the Series X can pump out if it's a, you know, a very linear structured world, and that's the type of game you're going to be playing in, because you can make, you know, shooters or RPG games that are, you know, linear, focus, smaller world type of game. And if you look at that in that respect, you know, because the Forza gameplay looked amazing, and then you go to something that's a little bit bigger, obviously, well, quite a lot bigger in Halo, and so far the graphics are on a lower level. I don't know whether that's just a function of a bigger world, more to do, or how much they've crammed into the game, or, you know, if they're going to take some more passes at buffing the graphics. But So the graphics I wasn't too impressed on. And then a lot of the games, some of the games I'm aware of and I know are probably going to be pretty decent, but there's a lot of games that I, that are either new games completely or games I just never played prequels to. And for me, you know, it was a hard thing to get the motor going, I guess, because I'm probably not going to get a console in the net, you know, right when they release coming out. But I would also second your opinion that right now PS5 would have my money if I was going to, just simply on based on the games that came out on the PS4 that, you know, sequels are coming to on the PS5, much better games, much more desirable games, in my opinion. So that was very long.
Yeah. I mean, either way, period. Microsoft is definitely going to get my money. It's just going to be through PC instead of the new console.
Yep. So I think,
I think a lot of games will be on PC and Xbox. And yeah, I was thinking the same thing. If I can just buy on the PC, I'll just do that. Cause I third the notion that I'm going to get a PS5. My wife, she loves all these games on the PlayStation. So our money is already going straight to PS5. So my take on the Xbox showcase is they had to show me something that would change my mind, because my mind is already set and they didn't show me anything that flipped a switch. So I'm still sticking to the PS5 and I'm going to need to see some more from Xbox personally.
What did you guys think of the PS5 showcase?
I thought it was all right. You know,
I went into it with wanting one thing, or if it showed me either Horizon Zero Dawn 2 or God of War 2, I would consider the thing a victory. So the fact that they showed me Horizon Zero Dawn at the end, I considered it a win personally. But I was kind of underwhelmed because it started hot with Spider-Man Miles Morales, which I love that game too. So that was, I was really stoked for that. But then everything in between until Horizon Zero Dawn 2 was very meh to me. But like I said, if they showed me Horizon Zero Dawn, I considered it a win, and they did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with the showcase, immediately, it jumped right into showing the new Spider-Man that's coming out, and automatically was like, okay, I guess I'm buying a PS5 then. I had no idea that they were going to do this. I didn't know they were going to get anything from the From Software end of things. I was hoping for an Elden Ring reveal trailer, something from that, because I want it. But they gave us the trailer for the remake of Demon's Souls, and my peepee went from 6 to 8 inches instantly from that.
Yeah, I was thinking, cause you're big on Dark Souls. We were talking about that before. And Demon's Souls is a prequel to Dark Souls. Am I correct?
Demon's Souls was the first one.
Yeah.
It sort of set the blueprint to what Dark Souls would be.
Okay. I haven't played any Dark Souls games. I've heard they're fantastic. I just haven't jumped on any of them, unfortunately. So, because I know, and I was looking it up, because when Demon's Souls came out, I was like, or when that preview came up, I was like, man, what is, I wonder. And so I Googled it and I saw that, yeah, it's in the same realm or the same vein as the Dark Souls games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel very much like Matt does about the PS5 showcase. You know, it was all right. You know, the first game and the last game obviously sold it for a lot of people. I'm not a huge fan of the design of the PS5 either. I honestly like the Series X design better.
So do I.
Yeah. And I've seen that the PS5 is going to be a massive, like bigger than the Xbox One, like launch day version.
Pretty large.
I still have that. I've literally still have my original Xbox One, and it's a fucking tank. So the PS5 is going to be massive.
Oh, well, yeah.
Can you get Xbox One or the Xbox Series X down on its side, or is it only going to be the tower form?
I don't know, actually, because the Xbox
One thing, I know the PS5, you can lay it down. So that's the one thing that I like, because it gives you that's what I have space for, is sideways, not straight up and down like the Series X seems like it's going to be.
Because I wonder that, too, because I love how the Xbox One, you know, the original one, when it first came out there, supposedly you weren't supposed to be able to stand it up. And they kind of changed that as they released newer versions. But like I have mine mounted to the side of my desk, like vertically, and I haven't had any issues with it. So we'll see what happens. Cause I don't know. I haven't read anything about it going, horizontally. So that is I guess a nitpick about it, but I do think overall the aesthetic looks better on the Series X.
Simple and clean.
PS5's
kind of got like the, you know, Seto Kaiba fucking shit going on, like time to duel. It's like, why apparently is it those are curves?
Really?
Yeah, I've heard they're supposed to be customizable. I'm not sure if that's
the case,
but I think that'd be cool.
It would be cool. Actually is kind of nice. Yeah, I'd like that.
Like, I'm not a huge, I don't know, like, it's weird. And like, it's not like I can, it's not like I have any design experience, but I would just the aesthetic of it. And then I'm not a huge fan of the white, like white gets so dirty over time, you know, and especially like, you know, where it's going to sit kind of in the main, you know, I just feel like dust is going to get all over. It's going to get, you know, the white's going to fade over time. It's going to look like doo-doo after a couple years, you know, cause if presumably, you know, this last generation went for what, 10 years at this point. When the fuck did the Xbox One come out?
2013.
Yeah. So 7 years. So it's been 7 years, but presumably this next generation is going to go longer. I would imagine if I was extrapolating it, I would say maybe 15, you know, they're probably going to go another 15 years before they do another big kind of revamp. And I feel like after 15 years, the white PS5 is going to fade pretty horribly.
Yeah.
Actually that brings up a point that I've never really hit on. Like, do you think that this is the last generation of a console as we know it, because they're getting so close at Xbox, you know, consoles and PCs, well, they would have you believe, based on the specs that they put out for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, they would have you believe that the lines are getting ever more blurred between a console and a PC. Do you think that this will be the last generation of like a console as we know it, where, you know, the next one after this is going to be like some sort of PC hybrid where it's going to have, you know, I guess it would still be a console, I guess, at that rate. I don't know. I'm just trying to, I'm like thinking about it in my head, trying to articulate it, and I'm not doing the best job. So we'll start there. Like, do you think that there'll be more consoles as we know it moving forward, or is it going to kind of blend more into something like a PC console all in one?
That's exactly what I've been arguing about. So when I decided to switch to PC gaming years ago, and I was realizing, like, you do want to buy a computer for yourself at home.
Yeah.
So why not get something that is able to run the games that you want to play as well? So what people who argue for consoles instead of PC gaming don't tend to acknowledge is that these units are computers.
Yeah.
The main difference is that they're running a more limited operating system on them. Mm-hmm. So if do you remember the Steam machines that came out back in what, 2016, mm-hmm. 2015?
Yep.
And nobody bought them. And yet here we have the current Xbox units with a diskless version of it. The PS5 is going to come with a diskless, one without a disk drive on it.
Yep.
That's basically what a Steam machine was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only difference was the store that you were buying the games from. And I was excited for the Steam machines to take off. And I figured, okay, maybe this is going to be something to give people more options for their gameplay, but it just died instantly. And the line between the units, between the consoles and the PCs have been, there's not much of a difference at this point, besides maybe the PCs are going to be a lot more powerful still. Yeah. That's going to be the case anyway. So will this be a last generation? I think we're going to go through at least one more after this, and then it might die out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I do think, like you said, I mean, the only difference even now with the Xbox, you know, the One X, for example, you know, that's a pretty powerful machine. And yeah, like you said, the only difference really is just the limitations they put on what you can do on the machine from an operating software side of things. On paper and what they've touted for this generation coming up, you know, 4K 60, you know, that's better than what my computer can do. You know, and that's, and I have a pretty powerful machine. I just can't hit 4K 60. So I do think, you know, I almost feel like Xbox's marketing ploy for this past generation, for the Xbox One, is too soon. You know, they wanted the box that did everything at the center of your living room, you know, in two, you know, in obviously this generation we're in, the next generation, and then the generation after the next generation, that's probably the right time for that marketing shtick, you know, the one box to do it all, because at that point the hardware will be so powerful, and you should be able to do anything computing wise that you'd want on it, plus obviously play your games on it. So, you know, I almost feel like they were too far ahead of themselves with that spiel last year or last generation, where they should have saved it for a couple generations coming up, because that's what it'll be eventually.
Yeah, it will be too. And I think a sign of what's coming up here is Microsoft embracing more of the PC community, mm-hmm. and letting their games be released on that unit.
Yeah. So as far as who would you consider, or what part of the gaming life cycle would you say is more detrimental to itself, the companies making the consoles, or I think I'm gonna know the answer, or the game developers and the publishers that make the games? Because I do feel that both sides, so when you look at from everything that goes into making a game and us enjoying the game as a player, obviously you have those, you know, who makes the devices you play it on, and then the ones that make the games themselves. And I do think that both sides have some faults, but I do think as of late, the game publishers and the game developers are really starting to just attempt to milk the everyday gamer for as much money as they can get with as little content as they can provide you. I guess if that makes sense.
So we're talking about what leads to the end of the life cycle for a unit then?
No, so like not necessarily end of life cycle. I guess I get the feeling that if things continue the way they're going, something's going to have to give, whether it's game developers, starting to realize what we actually want. Cause there's been so many years that game developers have been making games the way they think they need to be made, totally against the outcry of the gaming, you know, communities. They make a game one way, they stick with that way, even though that people playing it are like, this is the dumbest way to make a game. Why are you doing it this way? Obviously over time, that's going to gamers are going to lose interest that way. Same thing could be said about some of the design choices and some of the software choices that the game console designers, for me, the big one with all the crossplay coming up, how have they not put Discord baked into the systems yet? So there are choices that both sides of the coin make that, you know, as a gamer right now, we've just kind of been like, oh, I guess that's what we have to deal with. But what side's going to push the envelope too far to a breaking point where you're going to get a the gamers unite and revolt against either the developers or the console makers, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I don't know. I just like thought about it. I'm like, man, you know, I don't know. I was like just kind of talking in my head, and then we're talking, I'm like, you know, what about that? Like I'm kind of like just spewing like weird conspiracy theories right now, I feel like, because it's, you know, I feel like people are going to spend their money either way, but like at the same time, I was kind of like, you know, that's a good thought, good little thought experiment. What's going to be the breaking point? You know, because I do feel like that some of the developers, some of the bigger developers have started to take notice on certain things that are working and certain things that aren't working, and they started to kind of change their tune and soften up a little bit. But is that enough? Are they going to try to push a little bit more? And there aren't really much. There isn't really much from the manufacturer, the console side of things, I guess, that's really harming the industry as a whole. I think the big one for me is Discord, and I'll harp on that all the time. And I just think that's stupid that they haven't done it, because everything's kind of unifying as is. It's a long, really long winded way to be like, hey, do you hate the developers more, or do you hate the manufacturer of the hardwares more?
God, that's a bit of a hard question.
I should have just started there. I should have just gone with that one. Hey, what do you hate more?
So, okay. I'm going to try to like compare the two here. So for the hardware developers, it's, God,
they try selling us that they are producing some of the best hardware that they can possibly get out there. But if we're talking about being able to play in 4K in 60 frames per second, the PC community is saying, hey, welcome to 5 years ago.
And then
I'm going to be excluding Nintendo from all of this, though.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo is such a, yeah, I don't compare the Switch to the current consoles. No. I can't do that. But then on the other hand, you've got EA, who has the rights to be able to create Star Wars games, who has been part of what has destroyed my fun with Star Wars, releasing a new Call of Duty every year, for the better or worse. The last two Battlefront games, I ain't touching those. No, but the first two that came out, yeah, they're precious. They're gems to me. And look what you did, EA. Look what you did to not just Star Wars, but also my beloved Dragon Age. Okay. You took Dragon Age and had it turned into a goddamn single player MMO. That's what Inquisition feels like to me.
Yeah.
And so now I don't trust you, BioWare. I don't trust you anymore. I think you fucked up enough to where you need to earn our respects back. And Todd Howard, you gotta talk, buddy.
Look here.
Look what you did to Fallout and the Elder Scrolls. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I enjoy Oblivion. I love Skyrim. I don't want my Elder Scrolls on my goddamn phone.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
We've had so much time between now and when Skyrim came out. Okay. I get it. I can play Skyrim on my Amazon Echo. I can play it on my Switch. I can play as my orc while taking a shit. But right now we have to move forward into the future. The Elder Scrolls Online is okay. And yeah, more people need to say that it's just okay. It has been time for us to have our new Elder Scrolls 6.
Mm-hmm.
But Todd, I don't trust you right now. I think you're gonna fuck up one of my absolute favorite fantasy franchises. And just like you did with Fallout, Fallout 4 was simply okay. Mm-hmm. I run mods on mine to make it feel more fresh. And Fallout 76. Son, look at the mess that you made. You spilled the spaghetti all over the kitchen, and now we have to clean it up.
Yeah. I think, definitely think the developers right now, the big companies are, I don't know. They're making a lot of choices. They're not, creatively following what made a lot of the games good. You know, they're not staying true to the soul.
I think they might be trying too hard. Maybe they want to give you something fresh and new. And it's like, why don't you just stick to the same design you had for your past game that everyone loves? Why you got to do something so different and out of this world? Just stick to what worked. Yeah. I kind of think possibly sometimes, but I don't know.
The game, like Microsoft, you know, they have a lot of studios underneath them as well, too. Like, I wonder how that, you know, the people that are making the consoles buying up studios, I wonder how that plays into it, too. You know, I wouldn't say that anything's really shown up to say that's good or bad yet. But obviously, you know, as you get further down the road and you have a larger sample size, I mean, I know they've been doing it for a long time, but, you know, I just wonder, you know, how the creator of the console owning the studio, if that's going to have any sort of negative effect on, like, you know, how they think they should make the game, or how, you know, whether or not they should delay games. Like, you know, who knows how many games are, and I'm just like really pulling shit out of my ass right now, but it's like, I always think about these weird scenarios where, like, you know, maybe they wanted to release a game towards the end of the Xbox One's life cycle because it was ready and it was good to go, but, you know, maybe it was a developer under Microsoft and they're like, no, hold it for the Xbox Series X, and maybe that had to make them rework everything and it didn't give them the game they wanted to because they had everything developed for the Xbox One. I don't know. I don't know that we would ever know that it happened, but I wonder if shit like that happens in the background where
we can keep an eye on Microsoft just bought Obsidian Games, which they made Outer Worlds, which was a really fun game I'm playing right now, which was for PS4 and Xbox, but they bought Obsidian Games, which I think is a good studio. They are the ones that are producing that. Is it Avowed? No.
Yeah.
They are producing a new game for the Xbox that looks like it could be really good. But I mean, that's a case where we can wait and see. Your point is, if a studio owns this development, that if they're going to change it at all, because they put out really good games before Microsoft bought them. Now we can watch and see how they operate with Microsoft owning them now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Got on a little tangent there. Put my tin alien hat on, getting all the conspiracies.
Because I just Call of Duty's watching me.
So addicted to that game. What have you been playing lately, Dirk? Anything good? I want to get off. Well, I want to get off the shit talking on the developer. I feel like I do it so much. I shit talk on all the developers. I just think that they're not doing right by the gaming, you know, the gamers as a whole. I just feel like they're squeezing us. They see us as cash cows, and eventually, kind of their crop is going to revolt. I feel like it hasn't happened yet, and you can hear. Watch anyone on YouTube or anyone who's really cynical of the gaming industry, you know, the line they always toe is, you know, don't speak with your voice, speak with your wallet. And that hasn't happened yet. Like the wallets have been open constantly. No one's closed them yet. And I just don't know that time's ever coming. So
no, you're completely right about that, actually. Cause like, look at Blizzard and how people are so forgiving about what Blizzard does, how they treat their developers, how they treated, Blitzchung when that controversy happened, and people just didn't care or forgave them too easily with it. And, you know, I think it's our jobs to give a tip of the hat, but also give the wag of the finger, and you do it where it's due.
Yep.
If a developer deserves to be talked about in a way that is shaming them, you know, then it has to happen, because ultimately, like, we're not just people that talk in front of a microphone, we're also consumers.
Yeah.
The job of a reviewer is to tell people whether or not something is worth their money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do feel so many things have been half baked. Like they shoot things that always need massive, like, day one patch updates. You know, Anthem is probably the most egregious of the recent ones. But there are so many games that are like that just require like 40 gig day one updates because they didn't fucking finish the game by the time it came out. So, yeah.
Well, that's why I'm glad Cyberpunk 2077, they keep pushing back the date that it's going to be released, because they want to make sure it's perfect and the gaming community is okay with it. No one's been like, give us goddamn game yet. They're like, oh yeah, take your time. Cause they want high quality game at release day. They don't want to get something that they're really stoked for and then it'd be an absolute piece of shit because they didn't put their time in to make sure it's a perfect quality. So I'm glad to see that the gaming community is giving them all the time in the world to make sure they put out a good game.
And that's a unique example of a developer that I would, you know, obviously CD Projekt Red is big for the Witcher game, but like I would not consider them an EA, Activision, and at the same time, they're also not tied to any specific console, and like no one, there's no ties. And you just look at kind of the products they've put out, you know, you can tell they care about their games. Kind of like Matt said, they're, you know, especially with Cyberpunk, they're pushing it back because they want everything to be perfect out of the box. And I really commend that. And that's why I probably will always give my money to anything CD Projekt Red does, because they've built that confidence in us, whereas the other developers have not done that, you know, from my point of view.
Yeah. I think they earned that right, that ability to, from The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Like that thing got pushed back multiple times, but what came out is one of my favorite games. Larian Studios has the same thing happen where they'll have to push a game back just to make sure that it comes out right. But as for what I'm playing right now, to that question, since I've been collecting games for the PS4 lately, I've been revisiting the Batman Arkham games. So I'm currently going through Arkham Asylum right now. Mm-hmm. And man, that game, nails aesthetics.
Yeah.
Like we're talking 1990s Batman comics. It nails that so fucking hard. And the way that it controls, the way that you explore around, it was like a 3D Metroidvania. And in certain ways, it actually is better than the sequels that came out.
Yeah. I remember when I first picked up Arkham Asylum, I popped in and I was like, fuck, this game is good. Like the combat was fun. The story was great. It looked awesome. You know, if I'm not mistaken, they had, what's his name? Kevin, the voice actor from the Batman,
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. He was the voice actor for the Batman in all three of those games or didn't.
Yeah. And then Mark Hamill was voicing the Joker.
Yeah.
Like in the animated series.
Yep. So it was classic. A huge nostalgia bomb. Like I was like, oh my God, like I know that voice. and so, yeah, I'm with you. I think they nailed pretty much everything with that game. And I feel like there are so few games coming out nowadays that, like, you know, even if they're based off something or they're sequels to other games, I feel like so many of them miss the mark on stuff. And so it's nice to kind of revisit games that you hold at such a high regard. Like for me, I talk about the Knights of the Old Republic all the time because the Knights of the Old Republic 1 is like, to me, like just the tip of the iceberg for like RPGs, like. And I don't know, it's an older game, obviously, but if they ever wanted to remake it, which I've heard, you know, there's rumors that they're going to be remaking those games. I just don't know that it would be able to. I feel like I wouldn't want to play it because I wouldn't want to get my heart broken on the fact that they just didn't do it justice.
Its glory.
So,
yeah, I'm with you on that, actually.
Because it's so like, because I'm a huge graphics whore. So I'm like, I want the graphics, like give me the graphics of the modern day stuff. But give me just take the story, leave everything the same. Just remake it with the graphics of what we have now. So I doubt they would do that. So
they're gonna.
Well, I mean, if we have the ability to make things to be as graphically beautiful as possible while keeping the game stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no reason not to.
Yep. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting. I feel like that was I started a huge long tangent, but I feel like that's nothing new for here. That's nothing new for us. So what was I going to say? So you mentioned actually. I had a question. You mentioned the Warhammer 40K earlier. I don't even know if we were recording at that point in time. So. I know that Warhammer's had a lot of games. I've never played any of them, unfortunately. So the Warhammer that's coming out that was showcased on the Xbox Games Pass or the Xbox Game Showcase, what's the deal with, do you know much about that game? Because that was one of the games that looked more interesting to me. I just have no experience with Warhammer in the past and rake me over the coals.
Let me look it up here.
For being a bad gamer.
Do you remember the title of it?
It's Warhammer 40K Dark Tide.
Dark Tide.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here.
I was going to say, I didn't know. I don't know anyone. I don't have any close friends that have played Warhammer games. And so you're probably the first person I've talked to since I've seen the Xbox Game Showcase to talk about the Warhammer. I just didn't know if you knew anything about that one.
So looking at the Steam page from the developers of the best-selling award-winning franchise Vermintide. Oh, hello. Warhammer 40K Dark Tide is a visceral four-player co-op action game set in the Hive City of Terrium. Fight together with your fight. Yes, I want it.
Yes, please.
I want it.
Like, if you're giving me Left 4 Dead in a Warhammer 40K universe, yeah, okay. I'll do this for the Emperor.
Sure.
It sounds like I played Left 4 Dead. Those are fun games.
Yeah.
That I can understand now.
Perfect.
Yeah, and looking at the screenshots of this looks like it's exactly that kind of game. I'll do it.
There we go. Yeah, because there was that. So Matt, you mentioned Avowed. So as far as like the showcase is concerned, like, yeah, Halo Infinite look, I'm interested. Fable, I'm interested. The Avowed game, I'm pretty interested in. The Warhammer Dark Tide game looks pretty good. So I know there's a ton of other Warhammer games out there. I just have never played them. So I didn't know how this kind of laid into the, to the rest of the other games. Yeah, shut up and take my money. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like those games are all good and they look like they could be interesting games, but I just backtracked to what we said before. They look really good, but I've already locked into buying a PS5 based off of, I know there's going to be a bunch of sequels coming out that I want to play on it, and I'm sure they're going to come out with some good stuff because they killed it on the PS4. So I'm already locked into the PS5. What they showed was good, but they need to show me something mind blowing to change my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be a game that I'll get for the PC as well. So yeah. Warhammer has a pretty clunky history for games.
Okay.
And it's, they try to pump out a bunch of them, but very few of them come out to be really great. I would recommend Warhammer 40K Space Marine. So yeah. That is out for PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. But if you want something more strategic, you have Total War, Warhammer, and Warhammer 2. Those are fantastic games. Okay. Where my co-host Seven and I have been able to play this game together numerous times, and he'll try to show me different army builds that he creates of just walls of orcs that would come against me. And it's great. And then you've got Warhammer 40K Dawn of War, and stick with the first one. Yes, it's older. Yes, it's shown its age, but we don't talk about Dawn of War 3. Dawn of War 2 is just okay.
Yeah, it's just okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think we were talking about this earlier. I feel like I'm such a, so fucking dialed into Call of Duty right now, even though the game just pisses me off to no end. Have you played a lot of Warzone at all, or is that in your vein of things you like to play? You mentioned you haven't really played much Call of Duty before we started recording. I didn't know if you've touched Warzone at all or the base story, the campaign in the new Modern Warfare.
No, I haven't really played a Call of Duty game since Ghosts, which
it's pretty, I thought was all right. All right. See you later.
Yeah. I thought it was all right, but I understood why people didn't like it.
Yeah.
Before that, it's like the original Call of Duty is what spoke to me more.
Yeah.
But I get why people like this. It's something where like a kill feels good.
Yeah.
And it gives you a great endorphin rush once you start getting good with it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's exactly what's kept me. Yeah. I start getting more and more kills. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to drop in more. This is like playing golf.
You have like 10 bad games, but that one good game where you fried, like, all right, I'm coming back. It's like golf. You have 17 bad holes. Last hole you played good. Like, all right, I'm coming back for more.
And that's
how I feel. Yeah, Overwatch right is the same thing.
Yeah, Overwatch, yep. When I was into Overwatch.
We were big into that too. Yeah,
it did the same thing to me there. The problem with Overwatch for me, it was not, you know, the problems that make me mad at Call of Duty are a lot of like game design issues and a lot of weird glitches and things that they just haven't fixed or don't want to fix.
Cheaters?
Sound?
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, I get a little more frustrated when it's game design related. Whereas Overwatch, what frustrated me most was just like how toxic the people were. And like, if you weren't six stacking with your friends, there was like almost no way you were going to like, have an enjoyable time, just cause like playing when Matt and I used to go in like a group of two, you know, you get paired with potentially, you know, all the other people, like maybe other two groups of two. So that makes your six. It just was, people just would yell at you and like, they were so toxic. And
they either don't talk, like, oh, they go, have no mic,
or they need to attack. And they'd be like, fuck you. And they'd run away the other way. No, like I hate losing. Like, so, you know, there were two different methods to making me mad. And I think that Call of Duty's method is much more aggravating.
Effective.
Yeah, it's much more effective and much more aggravating. So, yeah, because they're having, I don't know how much. That. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know how much you've paid attention, but like the cheaters are rampant in Warzone. So there's just, it's like every game you drop into, there's, you know, you're getting wall hacked and aimbotted on pretty frequently. And so that's, they're like, oh, we're making another big wave of cheater bans. I'm like, why do you got to do it in waves? Why can't you just do it consistently? But they're just, it's Activision. I don't really expect a whole lot from them.
As someone who played PUBG for quite a while, like, I get it with the whole cheating thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
It was.
You mentioned about the toxicity in the player base for Overwatch, though. I didn't have too much of that. And in fact, certain areas, I might have been the asshole where I didn't use a headset or microphone. I just typed on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And I remember there's this one guy who just wouldn't shut up on the headset while we were waiting for the game to start. And I said, you should turn your mic down. And he goes, and he starts talking again. And I said, by turn it down, I mean, turn it off. And I get this very, defeated. Oh, like right after.
Okay.
Like, did that do it? I guess it did.
Yeah. I mean, but he's a pushover.
What I would give for at this point, I hate how much Overwatch changed. Introducing a couple new heroes was okay. But now we've got all these heroes that I don't give a shit about. Some are making the game worse.
Yep.
And I wish I could go back into the more vanilla first version of the game where things were way more chaotic. You know, when two guys picked, what was it? What was the character that chucks bombs? Junkrat. Yeah.
Junkrat.
Yeah. Yeah. So, two people pick Junkrat and then one more person picks Junkrat. And then we just ask each other, just a team of Junkrats. All right. Team of Junkrats. And then we went at it as that, like,
yeah.
What I would give to have those kind of times again, I would love it.
Yeah. It has changed a ton. And we were balls deep. Like when it first came out playing it, you know, that's all we did was play Overwatch. And we had like four or five pretty good friends that we actually met, you know, on, through Discord, you know, online. So they weren't actually people we knew in the real world. We met and, you know, we played a ton of them. You know, we were playing, you know, 6-8 hours a day. It was a hell of a time. But yeah, just, I don't know. It faded. It changed a lot. You know, it's one of those games, like I said, where it's much better for me, at least from my side, just my perspective. It was much better playing with that full stack of friends. And as people started, you know, things happening, people fell off. You know, we started having less and less of the full stack, and it got, you know, the fun to hassle media meter started going more to the hassle side of things. So I started picking up other games. Cause I feel like that's always the problem. You know, it's especially with those games, like you were talking about World of Warcraft before we started. I'm amazed at the people that have been able to maintain, you know, their love for Warcraft and the ability to still put in the hours like required on those higher level stuff and like the raids and things like that. That kind of stuff, that dedication sort of blows my mind, because I've had games that I've been very passionate about, like Overwatch. I just haven't been able to see them through. And so seeing people who do that with Warcraft just kind of blow my mind. Cause I'm like, fuck, you've been playing this game for like 20 fucking years.
That's because nothing replaces Warcraft for us.
Yeah.
So like we can get into Guild Wars 2. We can get into Lord of the Rings Online. Like there's plenty of MMORPGs that are out there, but like there's nothing that replaces the style and the gameplay for us of World of Warcraft. So I have not been giving Blizzard my money recently, just because I don't really want to support them. But at the same time, though, I don't want the developers to suffer because of the actions of the people that are above them. That fucking sucks, because people are dumping their souls into this game that I love. Mm-hmm. So I hope that Shadowlands begins to help bring in some redemption with Warcraft.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, speaking of Blizzard, Activision, you can kind of see how, you know, back to the point I was making about, you know, the developers choking out smaller games and not smaller games, but choking out the studios under them. I mean, look at Bungie. Bungie got out from underneath them. And I think that they're doing everything that they wanted to do with Destiny now that they probably were being told they couldn't do with it while they were under, you know, Blizzard Activision. So, and now you can see, I think their content path, the creative path that they wanted for the game, probably even what they wanted for Destiny 1, but they were part of the big box developer. They were like, hey, one game, 5 years, game two, 5 years after that, game three, like that's all, that's what we're doing. So, I think to your point, you know, the developers and it's tough. It's hard. You know, you feel bad punishing the studio when you know that it's coming from the top down. But if some of those decisions that are being made are ones you can't get over, then it's, you know, that's just the thing you got to stick to your own morals at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the freedom of Hong Kong was kind of important for me. So
yeah.
Weirdo, who is actually in the Twitch chat for you guys. He's actually a pretty huge Destiny 2 fan.
Yeah.
So like I hear him talking about all these updates and stuff that's going on for Destiny 2 and, being able to see how happy the fans are for the game. Like, yeah, I'm so glad that Bungie, you know, was able to remove the leash that Activision had on them.
Yeah. And it's very evident that it's very evident that it was Activision.
Yeah. I feel like most of the tweets I used to see about Destiny 2 were all just like, they're like all sad. And like, oh, I miss my game. And now that they've, now that they're out from underneath, it all I see is positivity. I'm
like, yeah, the community's on the up and up with it. And, there's no other example out there that's as telling as Destiny 2 and Bungie getting out from you're like, oh,
pretty easy to see.
It's like when they were under Activision, it was like, nighttime. Now they're free and they're on their own. And it's fucking sunny fields of grass and they're having a hell of a time, which is it's great for us. Great for us. Great for the, great for the people who love Destiny 2. But at the same time, it also shows that any game, always temper your expectations for a game that's coming out under one of those big developers. Cause you don't know what they're going to do to it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, I don't know. We've been chatting for about an hour. I feel like, what was that, Matt?
My neighbor upstairs is loud as fuck.
So is he
making noise? I'm so confused.
I'm lucky. I'm on the fifth floor, so I don't have to worry about any of that. I think, I don't know. I think we talked about quite a bit of things. I mean, you got anything, anything else, Dirk, that's kind of hanging around that you any questions, anything we might've missed? I mean, I know you have a different set of interests than we do as far as some of the stuff. So I didn't know if there was anything you had pressing, any burning desires to talk about certain things?
That's the thing though. It's like, it's hard to come up with things to talk about where, my co-host and I don't even know what the topic is going to be until we actually meet up together.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's always something going on, but my brain is just dead until then.
It's hard to like mind the Twitterverse for things to find too. Cause I feel like I always find random things on the internet, on Twitter especially. And it sparks sparks an idea, but then I either lose it or it always comes out. I see it like after we record our episode. So like, we'll probably get off this and I'll go online and I'll see a bunch of crazy things. But oh my God, the fucking world's ending. Like, could talk about all these things. So I just,
if I can compliment in a way that doesn't sound like ass kissing here for a second, the point of the podcast that I do is to make it so that we don't want to be Collider. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be the people that are just stroking their dicks for the big companies.
Yeah.
And so I hear the same kind of sentiment out of you guys when I listen to your show. So that's why I was a lot happier about being able to come on, because it doesn't, like, Red Letter Media is extremely important to me. Mm-hmm. And they are, because every time I listen to them talking about movies, it feels like a group of adults having adult conversations. They're not trying to make it as silly as possible or as goofy as possible. It's just, you want to hear a straight conversation between dudes that sound like they're just having a beer together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we try. That's the whole reason. I mean, I feel like the big reason why we started the podcast is because of that reason. I feel like you see so many things on the internet, so many things that are, very, very, like you said, they their IGN, their Collider, they scrub the dicks of all these massive companies.
Yeah.
While we, the ones who pay for all the games, sit here and kind of suffer instead some of their choices. And so I feel like this kind of was born out of our love for games and for streaming. So, you know, there'll be some episodes where we talk much more about Twitch and streamer drama and stuff happening. So, you know, that's a half of it. And then the other half was kind of like having, you know, critical conversations about the games we love playing. Cause we spent the money on it. We invest a lot of our time in it, you know, but are the companies really, not that they have to care about you from that standpoint, but like, you know, if they're going to keep making, if they're going to keep doing things that go against, you know, their consumers, but no one's really making that, you know, no one's really vocalizing that with their wallets yet. They haven't gotten the point yet. So, I mean, not that our little podcast is really going to hit anyone up at EA, but I know there's plenty of like-minded people out there that are like, yeah, man, you know, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And I just,
we're just everyday gamers, and I feel like there's more everyday gamers out there than there isn't. So we can definitely just talk to them as our audience.
Yeah. I like the you guys are, I've listened to, obviously, you know, having you on, I listened to quite a few of your episodes, and I think you guys are very funny to listen to. And I feel like that's one thing Matt and I like sort of lack is like kind of the comedy. Like, I don't know, what you guys talk about is funny to me. And I, you know, obviously it might not be funny to everybody, but I feel like we're very, very like down to business and like, oh yeah, we talk about this, talk about that. Like, I don't know.
That's what you guys are good at, though. Like, yeah. you're not trying to like shove or force comedy out. Yep. That's where a lot of shows or talking heads will stumble into. Yeah. Like they try making everything as funny as possible, and it's like, no, sorry, I can't listen to this.
that's always my concern is like, because I will try to say like, not like trying to force it in. I'll just say something that like I think is funny off the top of my head, and then like I kind of listen back to it and I'm like, I don't know, that's kind of cringy. But that's also always like my concern is like trying to say something to sound funny and it not being funny, because I know exactly what you're talking about in those videos where you're watching, you're just like, oh god, no, and you hit the X on the YouTube screen or whatever app you're listening to the podcast in. So yeah, I appreciate, you know, the sentiment as far as, you know, as far as that's concerned. So, I don't know. I think we've rambled for enough. Might as well wrap it up, I guess. I'm kind of out. It's my birthday too. So I'm like, I was sort of mentally like bouncing around. I have so many people messaging me right now. It's hard to keep everything going. So I think that's probably a good spot to call it. We've been about an hour. I said, I didn't want to get too long. Our first interview, we went like almost 3 hours, and it was great. He had a lot to say, but I can see from a listener standpoint that's just a little bit much to ingest.
Too long.
So, yeah. cool. So where can everyone find you? I guess we'll go to the classic plugs. Where can everyone find you? Let us know. All this stuff will be in the description too. I got your the major stuff, but just tell everybody where, you know, just so it's verbal, so everyone can hear it. Cause not everyone checks descriptions, assholes.
Yeah. So, the two main websites where you can find the content on, madcastmedia.com. And there's also arrogantmedia.net. That website I've been letting go a little bit, but I've been deciding, okay, maybe I can use it for repurposing with the podcasting. For Facebook, we've got facebook.com/arrogantmedia. And that's where I'm going to be posting more of the stuff related to the podcasting and shit that I do. And then we have twitter.com, which is at media arrogant. I wanted to take Arrogant Media, but some other dipshit did, and they're not using it much.
Basically, you just got to rise, get to the point where you know someone on Twitter, and pull the old,
pull some strings.
I know someone.
And give me that name.
Yeah.
Cool. So you have the Super Arrogant Bros podcast. Do you have any other ones that you want to? Any other ones that you do that you're on regularly that anyone should know about?
Oh God. So I have some projects that I'm working on right now, but if you want to see some other stuff I've done in the past, you can look up a solo show that I used to do called Java Fog. One of my projects is to actually bring that back up, but not do a weekly podcast anymore with it, but something more streamed. I'm toying with ideas with it.
Yeah.
The other podcast I used to do is called The Plastered Paladins. And that, it was very much influenced by the Sleepy Cabin podcast with Oni and Psychic Pebbles, but it had a lot of incredible moments and great stories that came out of doing that show. Like the time that my co-host used a silicone sex doll to scare the shit out of me in my apartment.
Oh, gee, I can imagine. Wait, did you like prop it up somewhere? And so you came in like lights off and it was, and you saw it, or?
Do you want to hear about the story?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, cool. You can't, I feel like you can't mention that.
I'm intrigued now.
Okay, so the Plastic Paladins was myself, Stev, and Mitch. Now, we would always record at my place, and we decided to order some pizza. And Stev told me, all right, go pick up the pizza. Oh, okay. I'll go do that then. And I come back, and we record the episode. And while recording, Stev says, hey, buddy, you know, I brought something for you. Go into your room and go look for it. Okay. So I go walk up to my room. And I see a silhouette of a figure of a person, and I jump as soon as I see it, and I turn the lights on. It's a smaller metal wire silicone sex doll, and what he did was he spent months saving up for this thing, just to be able to bring it up and fuck with me using this thing.
Oh, geez.
And so. We decide, okay, maybe we can use this thing to model our shirts. We're realizing, where can we put this thing? I can't keep this here. I told my girlfriend at the time that of what happened and, you know, the sex doll, and the first thing she says is, do not fuck that.
Okay.
So Stev takes it back to his place. The way that, okay, so the whole pizza thing, like, he made me go pick up the pizza because he was going to haul it from his car into the apartment. So he's hauling what looks like a dead body in a blanket into the apartment. And so we make him keep it. And he was working at a gas station where he decides, no, okay, I got to get rid of this thing. It's spooking me way too much. I think it moved. And so you've got people working at a gas station hauling what looks like a dead body in a blanket into the dumpster of that gas station.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
those things aren't, you know, I'm assuming it's probably wasn't like the top of the line ones, but even the smaller, like the basic ones, those things are not cheap. So that was he was very dedicated for the gag. Yeah.
Oh God, the things he'll do to fuck with me. That's great.
That is a lot of dedication for a good joke. That's
I can only imagine. I can picture, you know, two guys hauling something that looks like a dead body in a blanket. I can picture that pretty crisply. So, perfect. Well, so yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're reviving any of those things, that sounds like a lot of fun too. So, yeah, we'll definitely, I mean, I'll keep an eye out. Ever since you guys reached out, I've been following your guys' stuff. So it's very, I find it very entertaining. So, yeah, you know, thank you for what you do. I feel like not enough of us podcasters get thanks, and you guys put out a lot of entertaining stuff. So it's good. It's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to, you know. I got into podcasting on the big stuff like Joe Rogan and all that stuff. So it's nice to find, smaller shows, you know, lesser known people that I can rely on. Cause it's, you know, some of those bigger, it's turned into such a circus and pony show for some of those bigger podcasts that, you know, it's nice to kind of go back to the roots of what podcasting started as and get some smaller, more entertaining shows.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I know a lot of, I tend to catch a lot of flack when I say, like, I started with Joe Rogan, cause like, it's funny cause he's kind of known as like the face of podcasting, but you talk to like so many podcasters, like, fuck that guy. I hate him so much. Just like, whatever. Like,
hey, I don't care. I mean, Joe Rogan's the only guy that was able to bring in Alex Jones and get those episodes that he did.
I know. It. Yeah. He's done some crazy shit. I mean, that, and then the fuck, what was his name? Snowden. He had Snowden on too, which I thought was crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
good God. That was my guess right there.
I know. Yeah. It's so either way. Cool. So you can find Dirk at all those stuff, with all the Arrogant Media stuff. You know, all of our stuff is pretty simple. It'll be all, everything will be in the link. Everything will be linked in the description. So, go check them out. Hit them up, follow them up on Twitter, follow us on Twitter too. I mean, we post a lot of memes and interesting things. And I, you know, I try to keep everything up to date, but, quarantine's kind of sapping. I mean, we've been doing it for 4 months now, but it just saps me even more every day. I feel like the desire to post witty things when you're just trapped in your apartment seems to go down the tubes, whenever I think about it. Cool. Yeah.
All so of us for anime girls.
I know. yeah, exactly. Shh, you're not supposed to talk about that. Perfect. So yeah, we'll wrap this up. Dirk, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You know, I definitely feel like this is an episode that's been sort of out of the vein of our normal stuff, which has been great. It's been a good refreshing bit of conversation, and you know, hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Matt. This is great. Problem.
Anytime. All right, everybody out there. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Again, follow us on social, follow Dirk and all his stuff on socials as well. Everything will be in the description. And if you guys ever want to make your way back, technically right now we do every other Wednesday. The last few episodes we've been doing it weekly, which has been good for you guys, but we'll see how long that continues. So if that's going to be the case, you know, next Monday we'll be recording again, but we'll see. We'll let everyone up, keep everyone up to date. So follow us on social, follow Dirk and all his stuff on social, and yeah, we'll call it a day. Take it easy.